And welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. I'm so excited that you are joining us here today and tuning into this episode. If you like this podcast, I just want to remind you to leave a review. So leaving a review helps us because it gives us feedback, and I'd love it if you could tell us if you like the podcast. If you don't, feel free to leave that review. And if you do like this podcast and you want to support us, then please share it with a friend or a family member. I will let you proceed with the episode.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Masked Monologues. Today, I have Erica Flaquito with us, and she's going to tell you a bit about what she does. Would you mind introducing yourself and share your story with us?
Hi, so my name is Erica. I am founder of The Ave Marketing, and shortly, I do social media content creation. I lead courses, do workshops. So in other words, I teach business owners how to optimize their Instagram, how to create strategies, how to do engagement, basically answer all their burning questions about Instagram and guide them to the right direction.
Okay, so I want to ask, is it just Instagram you focus on, or do you focus on other short form platforms for content like TikTok? Or I know YouTube Shorts has their Instagram style reels going, I'd say, because they're pretty much the same. There's not a huge difference between YouTube and Instagram. It's short form content, but I would say there's a bit of a difference in style on these different platforms, where TikTok seems to be more authentic, or you have more low quality content, I find. And low quality is you don't have professional video editing, it's more raw on TikTok. And then Instagram is where, just from my perspective, it seems more polished. So can you talk about if it's just Instagram you work on, or if you use other platforms as well?
How am I different than other social media managers is we often work on specific offers, let's say. So every single client has different needs. So for some of them, they only are using, for example, Facebook and Instagram. So we create those reels. But in many cases, my clients utilize those reels for other platforms as well, for LinkedIn, for TikTok as well, even YouTube. So we agreed that in the beginning, so then I create accordingly those reels for them. Okay. With in mind which platform they will use. But absolutely, I agree with you. Instagram tends to have more polished reels, for example. However, they can still be used for TikTok as well.
Yes. And now I want to know, what type of clients do you work with? Because you say you work with entrepreneurs and small businesses. And I know entrepreneurs approach their content differently than, let's say, a content creator, where maybe it's more relaxed, it's more funny, humorous content, I find. And with business, it's professional, it's polished, it's educational. So I want to know how you approach that type of content.
So to answer your first question, I work with both service providers and product providers when it comes to business owners. And with entrepreneurs, as we say, about service providers, like coaches, for example, we tend to develop a different strategy. Again, as I said, every single client has different needs, but I provide them with social media strategy. We discuss the content, the reels, for example, that they would like to get. And then I create a list of topics that they could record. Then they send it to me. I edit up to their liking, up to their design, the way they wish to share it on Instagram. And then we share it there. Also, in many cases, we choose the simple and also at the same time kind of trending Instagram reel editing, which includes those captions. So many entrepreneurs tend to go for this simple style. And when it comes to service providers, we develop a slightly different strategy, which is a mix of everything as well. So not as much about recording the videos, for example, as a coach would say, for example, explain about what are the biggest mindset blocks and or how to overcome one specific mindset block. When it comes to product providers, let's say, I also tend to give them a list. For example, we can do a promo month. And then we can do, for example, I need one reel where they record, let's say, sunglasses a certain way, or we could do some shots with the sun, where the sunshine is visible as well. So it's all about the call, where we identify what is their goal, and then we move to the strategy and I guide them what I need from them to deliver that particular strategy.
Okay. And now what I want to know is, you say you send out a list of topics for the entrepreneur to record if they're the one who's supposed to be recording the videos, or if they hire somebody else to do that, then they send it back to you, you edit it, and then you develop this strategy around how many times you're going to post a day, what channels you're going to post on, and basically what that encompasses. I want to know what type of video formats, maybe contents or topics, have you found has been more trending or would get more eyeballs on it as opposed to others? So I know on Instagram, you can do different reels where you have somebody in the background, you've got music playing, and then you've got a whole bunch of text on the reel. So I've seen that's popular. Sometimes you have these captions, but you have your captions there and you've got this hook coming in. So I want to know what you test and what you've experimented with, what's worked better for your entrepreneurs.
So first of all, there is no one kind of strategy for everyone. For some businesses, certain types of reels tend to work better. We also looked at statistics, and there are many businesses who actually perform, basically get better engagement with carousels. So there is no one strategy for all. However, when it comes to reels, shorter form reels tend to give better results. So for example, up to 20 seconds. And what is also very important is the hook. So you have to capture the attention straight away, so people would want to continue watching that particular reel. And for example, I can't believe I'm sharing this. That would be one hook. Another one would be three things I did to reduce my stress levels. Basically, those hooks in the beginning, those 2 seconds, they help you to catch the attention, and then the viewer, they want to continue watching it. So the first step is to have a hook. Second step is to have a short form of reel, which gives better view results and also engagement.
Okay. And what I've noticed on Instagram or other platforms is that the algorithm looks at the retention. So sometimes when you go back and you analyze your reels, that you've got this dropout rate where people tend to drop off, stop watching a reel. And depending on where that is I'd say how much Instagram or YouTube, whatever platform you're on, tends to show people your content. Please correct me if I'm wrong and if there's any more data on this, because I'm not an expert. But I want to know, how can you retain your viewer through the entirety of your reel, through your videos, any type of content you're putting out there?
So the very first tip is to keep it to the point, because people lose interest when you expand the topic, the tip, the advice, or you go around it for too long. That's why I said the best view time is up to 20 seconds. Because if it goes too long, people will not watch it, because you have their interest and they keep waiting. And I'm sure you also seen those ads or those videos where you have to watch the video or training, for example. And as you watch the training, they keep telling you, if you apply these 3 tips, you will get to 10K a month, for example, where they promised you this. And then for that half an hour training, let's say, they talk about how your life will change. Can you imagine? So same thing applies to reels as well. Be precise, be straight to the point, have a hook, and then be straight to the point. So this is the best way to ensure your view numbers are high.
Okay. And now I want to ask, when it comes to actually recording the videos and I'd say editing, are you looking for more of this polished approach where you've got a studio background, you've got maybe some nice photography, or do you find that just your phone, camera on your phone recording that works better? What have you noticed is good approach for business owners? Because I'd say as a business owner, you tend to want to have things more professional, more polished. But sometimes that doesn't resonate with the audience as well, because they want somebody in the room or someone they can relate to. So I want to know what has worked for you or what you've noticed.
I would say not to forget one thing is, this is how you show up. This is how you represent yourself to your ideal client. And when it comes to this, you need to also think from the perspective of your ideal client. Who would they trust? Also, at the same time, what kind of industry are you in? Who would they trust? And when you take that example, for let's say you are recording a reel, making a video, basically, and your background, for example, is bad. It's not made, so it's like a bit of mess. So on the cup, you can see clothing, for example. I remember once I was in this networking meeting and I saw exactly this. So this person was in a speed networking session, and all I could focus during our, I think, 4 or 5 minute call was the piles of clothing behind him, the cups next to the bed, like the mugs, the messiness there. And without even realizing, you don't trust that person, because if the background is messy like this, what if they are messy the same way in the business? So when it comes to presenting yourself online, think about how you want to be seen and think what kind of impression you want to give to your ideal client. So for some people, it would be having a very professional background. Some prefer to do like shots like this, nearly like a selfie. However, I would recommend keeping these types of video recordings for stories. Those stories are way better for more behind the scenes work, for example, behind the scenes of the project, or where you can simply record yourself holding your phone, which is not as professional, because those stories, they also disappear. And this is more like real you connecting with your audience. When it comes to reels, they stay there. They also get forwarded. They are always there in your profile. So those impressions stay. And yeah, the feed itself, it's better to have for more professional kind of shots. So again, can be like a living room, for example, but the top tip is to make sure it's clean and tidy.
I have a question about posting. So when it comes to posting, would you recommend quality over quantity, or is it quantity over quality? Because I know a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs, they're posting and they're thinking, you know what, I have to post at least once a day, twice a day, three times a day. And sometimes when you do that, you're just trying to get content out, which could lead to a lower quality of content because you're doing it on a mass scale and this mass approach, as opposed to investing all your time into making one good reel or posting just one good reel every 3 days out of the week. So I want to know, what is a better approach? Should you be posting more frequently and then maybe put 80% of your effort into each reel, or maybe post less and put 110% into each reel?
I think you said it right. It's quality over quantity, and there are several reasons for it. So first of all, when you post too much, as you said, the quality also usually goes down, because also with such a frequent posting, many business owners, this is still a common mistake I noticed, they create content on the go, so every single day. And when you put so much pressure on yourself, when you do this, the quality of the content goes down. So it's way better to post between 3 to 4 to 5 times a week. And of course, you can post way more in your stories. So again, behind the scenes, the projects you're working on, if you're traveling, all the little things, if you have a pet, also people, psychologically, pets have a huge impact on viewers, and any kind of behind the scenes, that type of content can go to your stories way more often. You can post up to 3 or 4 stories every single day. But when it comes to feed, it's better to post high quality, good content less often. So as I said, 3 to 5 times a week instead of posting daily, or I still heard a strategy, post 2 times a day, which is also, one thing is a lot of pressure. Second thing is, this way you start spamming people. So every single time they go to Instagram, all they see is you, the same content. And this does increase unfollow rates as well. So that's why it's better to post less often than that, but at least to provide value and interesting content, so people would engage and also be interested to see what are you sharing today with them.
And for stories, I've heard that stories don't help you connect with other accounts. So you don't get as much reach as you do as maybe a carousel post, as a reel, or just a single photo. Is that true, or is this a misconception? Do stories bring in other audiences, or is it just primarily for your followers?
Especially if you are tagging, for example, other people, locations, it does bring you more people. And also it gives you higher reach the more people engage with you. So let's say you have two people who clicked like or a heart on your story, then it will give the algorithm that the story is interesting. People are engaging with it. So then more users will see it. So I think it's a bit of a misconception. And also stories have this powerful and very fun buttons to add polls, quizzes. And this is something very easy for viewers to see and engage with. For example, you have a question and all you need to do is simply click one of the answers that was given. These types of stories, engaging stories, they work very well because they're very simple. So the more simple the call to action is, in this case, to simply click to vote, the better it is and the more likely viewers are to engage.
Okay, I'd like to know a little bit more about your background. So you say that you talk a lot about growing on Instagram. Did you start out on Instagram or is it your favorite platform? Can you tell me how you got into social media management?
Yeah, my story goes back to COVID. Before COVID, I was working for a catering company. However, due to the pandemic, I lost my job. And there I was working for a catering company. It was marketing and events role. And I was there dealing with restaurant promotions, but I always wanted to go even deeper into marketing. And actually during the COVID, when I didn't have a job and I was looking for a job, there was this social media agency that hired me. And they were the ones who taught me everything about content creation, about engagement, about everything, about visuals, about how social media platforms work, what type of engagement it is. So they taught me everything. And after some time, we all reach that level where we want more, we want to develop more, we want something new. And that was the time when I realized I want to work on my own. So I started freelancing. And after the success there, I started my own company. So I was in the industry now for a bit more than three years, actually. And also together with working for the social media agency during the COVID, I was thinking social media would be interesting. And I'm also a photographer. And I had this idea in my mind for a while to start my photography Instagram page. Like, what could go wrong? And why not? Sometimes at the beginning, you feel a little shy, for example, but then I thought, what can go wrong? So I started taking pictures, sharing them on Instagram, and I saw so much support. So then I started learning about different engagement strategies. What works, what doesn't, what are the limitations of one and another. And also at the same time, this experience and also these tactics have helped me to get the job at the agency. And I applied those strategies whilst working there and even now with my clients.
Now I'd like to ask, as a beginner, what do you think is the number one thing you should know about posting on social media? So let's say that I am someone who's never really done any social media content myself. I want to start up an Instagram account and I'm posting, maybe I just upload my first video. What's something I should know about the game, a key takeaway? What do you think is the number one tip that could help me grow as to my full potential?
The number one tip I would say is do not buy followers, especially in the beginning. For many people, it is very tempting it's easy way to get 1,000 followers. People will see 1,000 followers, then they will start to follow me organically. However, this is a very big myth. And I often see business owners or stores who just open up and they always go for this easy option to buy followers. So there are several reasons to know. So first of all, it's very easy to tell when you have bought followers. You simply go to someone's follower list and you will see that there is a big difference between followers and follows. Also, majority of posts always is uploaded either on the same day. Let's say they have 20 posts, so 9 posts have been uploaded on the same day and the rest of the posts have been uploaded, for example, 2 days later or 2 days earlier. Basically, these are the signs. And also, when you go and see all these profiles, they don't even have any pictures. They just have huge numbers of follows or followers. And when you go back to the person's profile and you see they have 1K or 15K, I've even seen 80K followers, But when you go to their posts and you can see barely, for example, 10 or 15 likes, this is also the second strong indicator that there is too big difference between, for example, 15K followers and 10 likes on every single post. It doesn't look good, and you can easily tell that they have bought the followers. And at the same time, it also raises the suspicion, because when people are looking to buy something, for example, a product or service, they always check social media platforms as well. How visible are you? What type of content are you uploading? And especially when it comes to product providers, that kind of user-generated content, or for example, as I said, it's sunglasses. So you want to see how they look like in real life, in real pictures, instead of those professional pictures in the plain background on the website. So this gives trust. And when people notice these things, that you bought followers, then you see for the quality of the content, it doesn't help to build trust. So my very first tip is, don't listen to those who say this is fast growth and you should buy them. And lastly, also it's in guidelines that they do not allow third-party apps that kind of change the number of followers. So this way, if Instagram finds it, it can remove you permanently from Instagram. Quite often, I've noticed if Instagram finds but doesn't block the page, the algorithm kills the engagement for that particular profile. So organically, it gets very difficult to grow.
Okay, and now I want to know, a lot of business owners, content creators, they post on other social media platforms, and to them, they think that their content is good, that other people will engage with it. But then you see this number of followers, maybe you don't have as many followers, maybe you don't have that many views, but you feel that your content is still decent, it's still good. Can you tell me some reasons why your content wouldn't be good or get as much engagement as you'd hope?
Quite often, it's a big misconception that if I share good type of high quality content, or as you said, decent quality of content, people will engage and they will come to me. However, the algorithm also doesn't entirely work like that. Of course, it works the way how much people are engaging with the content. So the more engagements, especially now it's been released that the more shares, kind of shares is the best metrics to measure on Instagram. Now, not anymore as likes and comments, but now the shares. But going back to that, quite often when the pages don't get interactions on their social pages, on your Instagram, is because you're not doing engagement from the account. So you're not putting that visibility on your account, on your Instagram. And when I talk about engagement, not only to reply to your own comments and messages, but also to reach new people. So like other people's posts. And in this case, it's great to simply pick a competitor and go through their followers, through people who comment or like on their posts, and engage with them because they are already interested in that particular topic. And often when pages don't perform well is the reason because they don't do this part. And you can dedicate, let's say, half an hour a day to do this outreach, and then those engagement rates on your Instagram will 100% change. So that's very important.
Okay, so I've never heard that tip before, is actually to go out and reach out to other people who might be interested in your content. Because is that what Instagram needs to know before it just starts organically sending people to your profile, is to know what type of people like your content? And that's something you have to do on your end, is go out there and say hi to all your potential customers, potential audience.
Not necessarily to send messages, but to interact with them. Go to their profile, like their pictures, and write a comment. So also another big mistake many tend to make is, oh, I'm leaving comments. Often those comments are very general, like beautiful or amazing or well done. And these type of comments, they don't create conversation, because you need to say something that comes from you, not like beautiful or well done, for example. Because when you see this type of comment, you're like, okay, thank you, because you don't have anything else to reply to that. But instead, writing a different type of comment, for example, if you see something that they did, or maybe you have the same hobby, you can start a conversation from there. Oh, I love this picture. I love hiking as well. What was your favorite destination, or where are you going next, for example? Or you can share your same experience from perhaps they took the same route or the same hike as you did, you can leave comments that are more personal. This way you start the conversation in the comments, and then it's very easy to take it to the DMs, because this way it won't be stuck at the request. So that's why it's very important.
And speaking about DMs, does the Instagram algorithm look at how many DMs you get or what your conversations are like in the DMs? Does that factor into the people who visit your profile?
Absolutely, because if you don't reply to your messages, there is still a timeline that you should know more than 24 hours. Someone needs to wait for your replies. So the sooner you can apply, the better. Because this is all indicators coming from your account, how also responsive you are. And if you don't respond, the algorithm goes down. So it goes like this.
Okay, that is good to know. I'm going to go back to my DMs and respond to all my friends. It takes me a while. And I think for some people it does as well. But
yeah,
yes.
And also the same to comments. And we all get those sometimes, the spammy accounts as well. But it's also best practice to reply to those comments as well.
Yes. And now I want to know, when you're working with small businesses, when you're working with entrepreneurs, what do they usually come to you for, let's say? Do they have a specific idea in mind and what they want to do with their business? Or is it just you assessing their business, doing market research, and then coming up with a plan for them?
Usually my clients, they already know what they would like to achieve. So for example, build trust, build brand awareness, or promote their upcoming, for example, events or services. So when they come to me with an end goal, what they want to achieve, then I develop content strategy to help them achieve that particular goal. So I incorporate that into the content to make sure basically the posts are related. I put in time frames for how long we will talk about certain things. And we also put everything into strategy or action plan, where we outline for this month we will do, this is our goal, these are the steps that we will follow. Then for the next month, these are the steps that we will follow to achieve that particular goal.
And a good question to ask would be, how much time does this take? Because sometimes people think they should spend about 20 minutes on social media a day promoting their brand. Some people spend hours. How long would you recommend maybe a small business dealt to social media management strategy and everything that entails?
So if they want to do this themselves, for example, first you need to do is develop your action plan, basically. So what are your goals, for example, for the next 3 months? What do you want to achieve? Is it to hit 1K followers, maybe raise some money for the charity? So first you need to identify your goals. What are you working towards? And then this way you develop your content strategy. So in terms of time, I would say dedicate maybe 4 hours for action plan and strategy, because still you need to think of it thoroughly. And also market research is great. So you can go and look at the competitors, even what kind of topics they're talking about, especially if you look at the bigger brands than you are that have, for example, 200K followers. You can see the engagement across the posts as well as what kind of posts have higher engagement. And then this means this topic is trending. So you get the ideas from there, you create your strategy, and then you create the content. When it comes to creating content, it's best to create content for the month. So you dedicate around as well 4 hours to create the content for the whole month. So you can do it in the beginning of the month, so then you cover yourself for the whole month. You can either use scheduling tools. This is what I would recommend, instead of setting up reminders when this post has to go. And so yeah, create the content, schedule it. So that's another 4 hours. And when it comes to daily engagement, often many business owners who just learn what is engagement and how to do it, it becomes like a difficult task. So I always say in the beginning, do it for 10 minutes. Set a timer and do the engagement for 10 minutes. So like other people's posts, leave comments only for 10 minutes a day. You do it for a week, then the next week you increase it to 15 minutes. It's all about building that habit that you need to log in daily to your Instagram to do that engagement. And also a great motivation comes with this, where in the next day, for example, you log into your Instagram and you see the numbers from organic engagement going through, for example, 4 likes a day. then it goes to 20 likes a day, then it goes to 30 likes a day, then it goes to 50, and then the next day you get 80 notifications. 1 week, 10 minutes, next week, 15 minutes, then increase it to 20 minutes. But I wouldn't recommend going more than 30 minutes. If you want to, of course, you can do engagement, let's say maximum of 1 hour a day. However, you need to have breaks because also it has a limitation for how many posts you can like, how many people you can follow. And otherwise, it will stop you for the day. Like, we are monitoring the interactions and your kind of account flags up for too much activity. So it's also about building up your own habit, but also staying in within the regulations for Instagram. So I wouldn't say more than 1 hour. I think the ideal time is 20 to 30 minutes a day to do the engagement. But as I said, especially if you're just starting, always start small. Because otherwise, if you have to do it for half an hour, it will be painful and you might drop it after a few days. So start small and then increase it as...
Okay, and now I want to ask, let's say you posted on an account and then you didn't do anything on that account for another month. But at this point, you want to start taking your content seriously. Should you delete that account and start a new account? Or should you just continue posting on that account? Because would Instagram, any other social media platforms think, you know what, this person has been active for this period of time. I'm not going to send them any organic followers, any organic engagement. Would it be better to start a new account or stick with that one?
You can still build up the old one. So there is no need to delete it. However, especially with the beginning, going back to the limits, especially if you are starting, let's say you just created an Instagram account, maybe you converted to business account or creator account. My tip is to stay patient for a few weeks because often these new accounts, they have higher risk to flag up because of the activity. So this is also a way for Instagram to spot those fake accounts. So let's say if you follow too many people in one day or in a couple of days, if you like too many pictures or if you leave too many comments, you might flag up as spam and Instagram can actually remove you from Instagram. So I would say for the first couple of weeks, once you create a new account, start small. You can maybe follow 1 to 2 people a day, like only a few posts. I've been there. I've tested it with one of the e-commerce stores. So we had to create, I think, 2 accounts because even 3 followers at one time it was. So that's one thing to consider. But when it comes to, let's say, if you posted one reel, then you stopped for a month, you can still build it up. So you start gradually, as I said, start with a few posts, then increase it with the time as you go. So the beginning might be a bit slow. So it tends to be the first couple of weeks, you spend, for example, 15 minutes a day engaging, but you only get a few likes back. But the more consistent you are after a few weeks, it will pick up and you will get more and more engagement. So definitely it can go back.
Okay. And now I want to know, when is the stage that you find that most companies come to you and start outsourcing their social media? Because as an entrepreneur, I'd say that when starting out, you'd be doing as much of the social media, the marketing yourself until you started growing. And then you'd say, I want to hand it off to a social media agency, another company. What stages of someone's company have you noticed that they've come to an agency like yours and said, hey, I need help?
The moment for them is when they realize they need to be posting more and they can't handle it themselves. So their competitors are posting a few times a week. And usually when I look back at their Instagram, it tends to be the last post was 3 weeks ago, a few months ago. So usually it's the moment when they realize that they need to be posting more, but they don't have the time or they don't know how to do it. So that's the point for them.
Okay. And now I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today. It was amazing speaking to you, getting into the technicalities of this, talking about how you started out, your photography. I loved it all. I want to know if people want to reach out to your social media agency or if they want to connect with you on social media, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, Marketing with Erica. Same on Facebook. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. Erica Plepita, I know my last name is a bit difficult, but definitely easiest way to reach me is on Instagram, Marketing with Erica with a K.
Okay, thank you so much. And if you like this episode of Mass Monologues, please do check out Erica and leave a review or share with a friend and family member. We hope to see you next time. And yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.